الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم. يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع المغفرة. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار وما لكم من دون الله من أولياء ثم لا تنصرون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من رضي بعمل قوم كان شريكا فيهم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. We are in this period now of this festive period, this December period, the year-end period, and schools are closed now. Schools had their parties, etc., end of the year. Universities are closed. Businesses will be closing, factories, etc. End of the year, parties take place. At this time, people go for holidays, many people, to various resorts, various places they go to for holidays also. And it's a time when a person lowers his guard. He takes it easy now. Many a person who wears kurta throughout the year, now at this time won't wear kurta. He'll wear his t-shirt, he'll wear bermuda, he wears topi all the time, but now no topi. The women folk also, they were in parda all the time, but now they also wear funny color hats and funny sunglasses. They also drop their guard at this time. Everyone drops their guard. So at such times, a person must be much more careful. He must take his precautions much more. And he must be on his guard. And a person, in one split second, how a person can change and his life goes after that in a complete different direction. So a person must be very, very careful. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Pratap Gari Rahmatullah says this beautiful poem in warning himself. He says, Harime dil ke Ahmad apne paasbaan rehna, koi ghair na aa jaye. That, oh Ahmad, you must guard the sacredness, the sanctity of your heart. Some foreigner, some stranger, some ever devil, dushman, must not come in your heart. And when they come in, you don't know. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gives this beautiful example that when the electricity department are working on the lights and they're doing some maintenance work, they send a notice out first. And in there they say from certain time to certain time there will be no electricity. And they put a warning note at the bottom, but always treat the wires as live. That at any time, the power we can put in. If they want to test something and they put the power in. So treat it as live all the time. Because you don't know when that power will come in. So Hazrat says, just like that, we take our precautions. But if we drop our guard, We don't know what moment Shaitan will put that evil thought in you. And that one evil thought is enough to mislead you for life and destroy your whole akhirat also. And destroying of akhirat is not just this word destroying akhirat. That means to suffer, burn, roast, and be with the snakes and scorpions and with the smiting of the malaika in Jahannam forever and ever. And to be deprived of the ni'mat of Jannat forever and ever. So that one moment can cause all this. So we must be very careful. We all have to go out on the road we travel. There are enough billboards everywhere. And especially the driver, our Shaykh Rahmatullah used to say, that the passengers in the car, they must just keep their gazes low. There is no need for them to look around. The driver has to look, but Hazrat used to say also, the driver must also keep his gaze on the road. If he is also looking around, then he will cause an accident also. He must keep his gaze on the road. He must see, and Hazrat used to say, that Allah Ta'ala, nobody, no government, nobody has made you a person to see statistics. Research officer or something like that, that how many lady drivers there are, how many passengers got how many females in them. That's not your work to go and check up all that. Your work is to see, if you don't check your road properly, you can easily bump into somebody. So you must watch your road and then you will be saved. So especially at this times when we are even on the roads, even for a legitimate purpose we are traveling. We came here to Majlis and we had to be on the roads. Some may be nearby and we came walking, others, mostly of us, came by car. And in the car there were the passengers, they had no need to look around everywhere. The driver has to look, but he must also keep his eyes focused on the road. And where he has to keep his eyes focused, inshallah, there is no fitna. The fitna is when he looks around where he not supposed to look. Then there is the fitna and the fear of him falling into fitna also. So we must take our guard. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, who is in his khanka, what was his particular emphasis on in his khanka for Islah. This is also one point Hazrat stressed a lot, that in my khanka you won't find lot wazifas. Many khankas, lot of wazifas are given. Lot of zikr to make, lot of wazifas to read, etc. Hazrat say that you won't find in my khanka. In my khanka is to build that connection with Allah, the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And particularly Hazrat used to emphasize that a person must not cause any inconvenience to any other person, Muslim, non-Muslim, anyone. He must not cause any inconvenience to any other person. Forget causing harm to somebody. That is terrible. That is worse. Don't even cause inconvenience to anyone. So Hazrat says a person in the morning when he wakes up, if he doesn't make this intention that I'm not going to cause inconvenience to anyone, he will definitely cause inconvenience. And this happens not only when we leave the home, while we are in the home. A person, mashallah, is pious, he gets up for tahajjud also. But now he's putting on all the lights, more than what necessary also. Your wife, others are sleeping, you putting on all the lights. And you are going, and then you are banging doors also. So how much you thinking I am in piety, but you are inconveniencing other people. It's not necessary, it's for a tahajjud, it's not for a, and not necessary everyone to get up. You are up and you don't have to become a nuisance to other people in trying to do your good deed. Do it also, and do it in the right way also. The more, Allahu Akbar, ulama have written, to get perfection in our amal and to get them accepted by Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, three major points they have written. The one point they have written is that a person must do that amal with complete hiding it away, not showing anyone. So Allah give us tawfiq for tahajjud, for any other ibadat, we must not make a show of it. The other is that we must not delay any action. When the thought comes of doing a good deed, do it immediately, as soon as possible. We don't know when Shaitan brings another thought and then you don't do that good action that you are supposed to do. So that is also very important. And a third very important point, whatever we do, quality-wise and quantity-wise, always regard it as insufficient, as very little. Never think that today I've done a lot of ibadat. Or never think in my life, 60 years I'm making namaz now, now I can take it a bit easy now. Hey, the West system, at the age of 60, 65, they retire you. In Islam, there is no retirement. Retirement is in the qabr. And till maut, hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen, we must keep on making effort. Never lower our guard, never lessen our ibadat. We carry on as much as we can. Some physical condition come and you can't manage what you used to when you were young. That is different. But just now that I've done enough now. All life, how many 50 years I'm keeping rozas. Now if I don't keep rozas, I can give fidya. No, unless if there is a necessity, it's a different thing. But just unnecessarily, just to try, just see Shaitan puts it in a person. As he comes towards the end of his life and also the end of amal. When we come to the end of any action, a person must be more on his guard. In fact, according to the people who work on the statistics of accidents, they find that the most of the accidents happen when a person is nearing his home. Because he lowers his guard. I'm here at home now. His home area. I know my place properly. And there he slips up and makes a mistake. So we have to be on guard right to the last moment. And as far as our iman and our deen is concerned, we know we have to, our ruh must go out with kalima till the last moment. And we also know how shaitan works on people at this last moment. And not on ordinary people, great people. Hazrat Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, how shaitan attacked him right at the end. Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahmatullah alayh, how right till the end. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, rahmatullah alayh's father, how shaitan troubled him right till the end. So we have to be very much on our guard all the time. So we must take our guard. So Hazrat Maulana Thanvi, rahmatullah alayh, says that if you in the morning when you get up, when you leave your home, and all this, we make bayan of it, we hear it so many times, we tell other people, let us think that did I one day also make this niyat in the morning that today I won't cause inconvenience to anyone. We hear it, we talk about it, but we don't make amal. Our knowledge is just for knowing, it's not to make amal. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The enjoyment and the reality of deen will come when we make amal. Not that we know about deen. You know a certain pudding is very tasty. Certain kawab is very tasty. Knowing it doesn't give you that enjoyment. Even if you don't know it's tasty but it's in your mouth, then you know what the taste and the enjoyment. So deen also is when we practice deen. That is where the enjoyment, not the knowledge of deen. Today we are by and large careless of the knowledge of deen also. We are fooled. And we think that we have got the knowledge, so we have got deen. Deen is something else, and the knowledge of deen is something else. So when a person practices that is when he'll get that enjoyment. So in the morning, who of us make that intention? When we leave our home, who of us make that intention? Our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimullah, uses the same principle. When Hazrat Khanka, the underlying point was, to guard one's gaze. In fact, Hazrat says, whatever I got from Allah was on guarding my gaze. And from before becoming baligh, Hazrat already used to guard his gaze. During your young days, all the time, what environment a person gets involved in, to guard your gaze, Hazrat says, before I became baligh, I used to guard my gaze. And just as we heard this ashar, and all the ash'ar of Hazrat, it speaks of Hazrat's great, great position by Allah Ta'ala. Not only his own, but how he has encouraged other people also to reach that level. So the gaze. So Hazrat says that if you don't make the intention in the morning when you leave home that I'm not going to look at haram, you will fall prey to it. There again, ask ourselves, till today, one day did I make this niyat when I'm leaving home, that I'm not going to look at any haram or any undesirable thing. Do we make that niyat? We know about it, we speak about it, but we don't do it. The enjoyment will come and our gazes will be controlled when we make that niyat. And when we make that niyat, automatically a person will find that his gazes are cast down now. Hazrat, one alim speaks of one of Hazrat's khalifas, murid, who was in Jeddah. He said, he told Hazrat, at that time I was also present there, he said, this khalifa of Hazrat, this murid, even if he's speaking with another male, he's speaking with an alim, he's speaking with a pious person, but his gazes are just down all the time. A person whose gazes are not only when we're on the road, but everywhere, you'll get saved so much. When your gazes are down, unnecessary talk with people will also be cut out. And this very terrible attack of shaitan, that the minute our eyes fall on somebody, we don't think of his good qualities. Immediately all his bad qualities come to mind. He's like this, he's like that. If our gazes are down, we won't. A person is sitting in the masjid, making zikr also, and he's looking around, his eyes fall on that one, oh, that one is like this. Some bad, shaitan makes him think of his bad quality. He looks at somebody else, he thinks of his bad quality. If our gazes are down, we'll be saved of all this. Not only a matter of looking at strange woman, but that is also one haram gaze of looking at strange woman, of looking at young boys, even without the desire and passion. To look is not permitted. And then also to look down on somebody. That is even perhaps worse than looking at with evil thoughts at woman. When we look down at somebody. And everyone, we don't recall, we haven't got a file of the good deeds of people. But the files of the wrong mistakes they have made, or what we think are their mistakes, those files are right in front of our eyes all the time. And we just think this person is like this. This person did that, and we are reading tasbih, we made niyat of i'tikaf, we are sitting in the masjid, we look like farishtas here, but inside we are worse than shaitan also. So therefore, to take our guard is very, very important. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Do not make tarkanu. Tarkanu, of Mufassirin of the Quran, have given two beautiful explanations. One is Mailani Qalbi. From your heart also, do not incline towards the non-believers. And the other is Mailani Yaseer. Do not have a slight inclination towards the kuffar, towards the wrongdoers. And this Mailan are two particular things. One is Tashabbuh bil kuffar, that to love the ways of the kuffar. There also we should think, how many a person like that is pious, everything. All sunnat attire, his wife also, everything. But when he's alone with his wife in bed, halal, it's your own wife. But you wanted to dress like the kuffar woman. So what is the reason why you want her to dress like the kuffar woman? That is also, you got the love of that kuffar lifestyle. How they dress, you love that also. You're a Sufi sap, you're a Mali sap, you're a Tablighi, and so you can't let your wife dress like that in front of everyone. In bed you can do it. In bed, Allah is not there, Allah is in public. So in bed, Allah doesn't know also, so you can do it in bed. In your bedroom, yeah, also Allah is watching. Allah is there, that you are not two people, but the third is Allah Ta'ala. You are alone and Allah is with you wherever you are. Allah is present there also. So the love of the kuffar in this way, this tashabbuh bil kuffar, is so common and so rife and so prevalent. How many a good person, regular with namaz, makes imamat, is an alim also. But you'll see, he's got a square cut here at the back, where the hair is cut like cleansed in like in a straight line. That is a square cut. That is the style that... hairstyle is of the kuffar, it's not sunnat, it's not of the buzurgs, it's of the kuffar. Now your namaz you are destroying in that way. And you are making imamat, you are destroying the namaz of the muqtadis also. Just say, all evil is so stupid. You, for what you did it? Are you going to enjoy? Can you see the back of your head? Put 10 mirrors and try and see the back of your head. Other thing, if you see something, you put some ornaments in the house to make yourself happy. But this, can you see it? You can't see it. And it's there, and you're not even aware of it, it's there. Now, for what you're doing, that is, fi qulubihim marad. They've got that disease in their heart. The disease of the love of the kuffar. And because of that disease, they make the shabbu bil kuffar. Whether it is in any other thing also, torn jeans. Jeans itself, first of all. Our old lady stations, our young girls, etc., wearing jean and boot. Boots. Jeans and boots. So, yes, jean and boot, when it has now come on them. That is all the evil, evil inspiration. Jinn and boot, all this evil. Now they got no peace, no chance. And at 24 hours they are also parishan all. But and worse than that, and this is again that very same thing. When you follow in the wrong way, you just go more and more wrong. First of all, you're wearing the jeans. And in summer you are wearing it. The jeans are hot. And in summer you are wearing it. And then you are wearing it, the torn jeans, perhaps for some ventilation you are wearing. That also to imitate the kuffar. And in their stupid ways you imitate them. And patch jeans you are wearing. And half socks you are wearing. All this imitating the kuffar. So this is a serious thing. And Allah Ta'ala's punishment in most cases comes in this world when people go over the limit. Allah gives lot of respite. This glass, when you start filling it, it doesn't overflow. When you filled it right till the top, and you're still filling, now it overflows. Our gunas also we commit, Allah doesn't take us to task. In fact, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, when a person is exposed in any of his guna, and people come to know, be sure it's not the first time he committed that guna. He was doing it for a long time. Allah gives a lot of respite. And even if we commit guna, and we keep on making tawbah, it's like you are filling water, and then you are drinking from there. You're taking out, so it won't spill over. But when you don't make tawbah, and you just allow it to fill, when it comes to the top, that is when then Allah's azab comes. So we have to be very careful with all our actions, what we do. And the gunas that we commit, whether we are doing it them in private, nobody knows about them. Our intention, it can be a great alim also, great sheikh also, sheikhul mashayikh also, sheikhul hadith also. Intention is hidden in the heart. Allah knows it better than what we know it. If our intentions are also wrong, we are doing things to show people. We are doing things for name and fame. We are doing things for worldly gain, to gain favors from people, whether it's their praises, whether it's their support, whether it's their financial aid, for whatever we do it for that purpose, it's got no value by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So this tashabbu bil kuffar is a terrible thing, and Allah punishes it in this world. And the other is ikhtilat bil kuffar, to mix with the non-believers, which today is also across the board. From small children, we put them in nurseries, in pre-primary, we put them in kinder, garden, all those places, they are non-Muslims, kuffar also, and they are mixing with them. And worse than that is, when the teacher there is a non-Muslim, and the effect, they will fall on the children. No matter how much you scrutinize the syllabus they have to teach, but the mere fact of that person being a non-Muslim, the kufr of it will definitely have an effect. In fact, many years ago, one incident here of Mayfair, that the mother left the child in the care of the nanny, of the maid, and she had AIDS, and she breastfed the little baby. And then the little baby, small baby, got AIDS. So that effect of this ikhtilat bil kuffar, mixing with the non-believers. And today it is so much going for holidays. Our young boys and girls going with non-Muslims for holidays. And in holidays, first of all, we all lower our guard. We are not particular about many things. About the food that we eat, that is another area that we must be very careful. Whether we go in Jamaat, whether we go for Umrah, wherever we are, the food that we eat, we must be very careful. And the food, we are satisfied, certified halal. And that is enough for us. Yeah, is it? It's written certified halal. One student of ours, an Arab, from Algeria most probably, or Tunisia, he says that his father fights with him. When we go to the supermarket, we buy chicken, and written there certified halal. He says, now what problem you got? You want it double halal, triple halal? Yeah, it's written, but anyone can write certified halal. And just to give us a little overview of the chicken that we are particularly eating, all the stunning of other, all the commercial chickens we are having, all are 100% stunned. There is no doubt about that. Whether and in any country, whether it is the companies in Saudi also, what's the names of these big companies? Anyway, there's big companies, and one person once, he has wanted me to hear, we are a whole lot of people sitting, and he said that, what problem have the people got with this company? The owner of it, he sits whole day in the masjid. He's such a pious person, and how lot of his charity it is well known. Now, his company's chickens, you still got a problem. Now, just look at it, there is no doubt and no hiding away about the chickens being stunned in all this year. First of all, let us just take it a little bit more back, how these chickens are born. They are not born on the ground, how normal other chickens are born. They are born in that foul pen of theirs. We see wherever these chickens are, when you're going past Parisburg, you see rainbow chickens, that big shelters of theirs in which they have all this. So the chicken is born in that pen. And whole life, its lifespan is 36-40 days. That's all its lifespan. It never sees the sun. Its feet are never on the ground. Never gets the opportunity to flutter its wings also. And there is a light that is there 24 hours on. So that the chicken must not sleep, it's deprived of sleep. Imagine when somebody deprives us of sleep and does not allow us, one of the torture ways people torture, they don't allow you to sleep. They put bright lights there and they hit you with the guns on your head the minute you just want to fall asleep. That one moment sleep also they won't allow you. And then you go berserk when you don't get your sleep. So those chickens, whole life they don't sleep. And they must just eat. And eat also what filth they eat. Not long ago, we were in Nairobi, we were coming home or something. We were sitting in the car with our host and waiting for the ladies. And the maid of the house walked past there. So then he told me, this maid, she just doesn't want to eat the chicken. Then whenever we have chicken, she doesn't want to eat. We asked her why. She says she worked in a chicken feed company where they make chicken feed. And she says, I saw with my eyes the menstrual pads of the monthlies of the ladies, that dirty, filthy blood is also crushed and put in that feed. They made to eat that also. So all the filth and dirt they eat. After that, they just give it a nice texture and it looks very nice and the packing is very neat and tidy and smart. So everyone thinks it's fine. So they eat all that there. They eat, if they develop any sores on their bodies, blisters, anything pus comes out, that also they eat. Their own feces also they eat. What falls down, they eat that also. That is what is their feed. And then after 36-40 days, they want them to grow very quick, big and fat. Because their object is only money. It's all profit-based. It's not to worry about what the people are going to eat. It is profit-based 100%. After that, the transportation. They are transported also in such cruel condition. So many in that small, with the restrictions and the laws which apply by the municipalities and government, but still they are very restricted. At one time, we were getting these chickens at the Darul Uloom also, and we wanted to slaughter ourselves to be more safe. But we saw what the condition of this chicken. When they take them out of that, what you call that? That cages of their, that plastic. Take them out, how many of them just fall down? They like half dead already. Before being slaughtered already, they got like no life. Otherwise, buy a real chicken. And the minute you leave it and see how it runs, it's got life in it. And how it makes a sound also. These things are like dead, no life in them. So that is what we are eating. And then when they put them now, when they're going to slaughter them, first of all, they hang them upside down. What a torture that is, just to be hung upside down. Anyone, we, if somebody has to hang us upside down, sometimes if you make a long sajda, you can feel the pressure of it. But just to be hung upside down, what is that? And then after that, the heads are passed by electrified water. That is the stunning that takes place now. And now with that, they become brain dead. And brain dead, one person gave a good example. It is like you take a brick and throw it on somebody's head, and he goes in concussion. And the pain that he feels at the University of Bonn in Germany, when they experimented, they found the greatest pain animals have when they are stunned. And when they are stunned and they are brain dead, that animal, even if it's slaughtered now, and it's certified halal also, but its blood remains in the body. 99% remains the blood. And an animal that dies of its own is also haram. If you didn't slaughter an animal, it's carrion, it is haram. What is the illat, the cause? Why is that animal haram and this animal which is stunned? The same thing, the blood remains in the body. That is the reason. The blood must come out. And the only way the proper blood comes out is without duress and any difficult condition on that chicken. You slaughter it, all that blood comes out. And that meat is the most healthiest and the most tastiest also to eat. And where the blood is left in, so they are stunned. So all that blood, after that they are slaughtered. And at what speed those chicken come and the slaughterer is to slaughter. What all the arrangements to give him a fair chance. After all said and done, he has to slaughter 40 chickens roughly in 1 minute. Now in 1 minute, sitting in a peaceful condition, say Bismillah Allah Akbar, Bismillah Allah Akbar, Bismillah Allah. For a minute you might manage for 2 minutes, for a 6 hour shift, for an 8 hour shift. Even just saying Bismillah Allah Akbar, with that mask on you, with blood flying in front of you, standing position, and you are slaughtering Bismillah Allah Akbar. Is it even possible? It's not even possible. So anyway, after that, if that is slaughtered, now it goes into the de-feathering, to take off the feathers. For that, they put it in boiling water. And what does it do? So that the feathers can come out easily. What is the result of that? The stomach hasn't been cleaned. All the intestine, all the dirt is still in the stomach. With that hot water, all that dirt again mixes with all the meat in the body and the bones. And you'll see all this chicken, of this commercial chicken, the bones are black and they are soft. And see a farm chicken, bones are white and they are hard. Great difference between the two. So this chicken here, all the blood is gone in there. And a person chews those bones also. And he enjoys now all that filth and dirt of the blood. This started about the early 60s, all this commercial chicken generally. And since then, it's now about 80 years. At the beginning, people were not consuming so much. Now you see in old age, what sicknesses people have got. In another 10 years, Al-Amanul Hafiz, all this chicken which has been consumed, what sicknesses people will have. And it comes with its baggage, all the suffering in this world also. And you are reduced to a cabbage with all the sicknesses. What difficulties people are going through is the eating of all this. And then after that, it is sprayed with a certain type of acid. Forgetting the name now, this article came, And that acid is known to cause cancer in people. And it gives a beautiful pink shine on the chicken. And it looks like fresh all the time. Just that spray, what they spray it with, it makes the chicken look very nice and very tempting. And the pink color and fresh color, like fresh chicken, it looks like. And then it's packed very nicely and now given the label, a certified halal. That is what we are eating. So we have to be very considerate. So be on our guard on all our matters. Be very much on our guard. What we eat, even if we're going for Umrah, what we are eating. And also, in Umrah also, be very careful. Many of us, we have got contacts of people who will bring food or prepared from their homes. We also made arrangements and we told the people we don't want no chicken. But we found bones of chicken. Contamination takes place. They say that we don't have, and they are not going to look for farm chickens. They also just buy the chickens what they get easily available. It's commercial. They're not doing it out of love for you. They're doing it for money. It's a business they are running. So they also just, the chicken they get, that is what they, and we are eating that. In Jamaat, one Jamaat went to Zambia, Lusaka. The Lusaka brothers told us, South African Jamaat came here, and they insisted, we must buy our food, you want to make our ikram, from Kentucky. So that type of food we are eating. So one Buzurg saw Shaitan resting under the tree. Shaitan, you resting? It comes in the Hadith Sharif, Qilu, make Qailula. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا تَقِيلُ. For Shaitan doesn't make Qailula. خَالِفَةَ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى وَخَالِفْ شَيْطَان also. Go against the ways of Shaitan doesn't make. So our Shaykh Rahmatullah explains it. Shaitan got no time for Qailula. He is busy more than 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He is too busy. So him making, resting. So you see, when the people are eating all this haram, now what work have I got? Now they can make whole night ibadah, they can cry and make their duas. It comes in the Hadith Sharif. A person is on suffer. And suffer is a cause for duas to be accepted. And then his hands are stretched out. Pleading to Allah. It's another cause for duas to be accepted. Ya Rab. And fa'anna yustajab. Where will his duas be accepted? Mat'amuhu haram. Malbasahu haram. His food is haram. His clothing are haram. Though he's on safar. And his hands are stretched. And he's in a very, very distressful way. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Allahumma. Allahumma. But his food is haram. His clothing is haram. So the whole night we can be making ibadat. A whole Ramzan. And we can be in Jamaat 40 days, 4 months, be in the Khanka. But if our food is haram. So to take our guard against all these things. And this is one of the major ways where Shaitan gets into us. What you eat is what you think. What you eat is what your character will be. What you eat will be what you speak. Everything, you are what you eat. What you eat has a great effect on us. So we have to be very careful on that. So in all these things, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Don't in the slightest way incline towards the wrongbelievers. Don't even from your heart incline towards them. Be very, very careful. On one occasion, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, what a great, great sahabi, was invited by somebody for a walima. To go for a walima is sunnat, you should go. He accepted, he went. As he neared the house, he heard some sounds of things which were lahwa, with things which were not correct. Maybe it was some music playing the drum. That was a common thing, how they should celebrate at wedding times. Not all other girls singing or other things, but they should beat the drum. And lot of discussion on this, what kind of a drum or details of it comes. Anyway, when he heard that, he turned away. Somebody told him, you are going for a walima. And it comes in the hadith, when you are invited for a walima, don't refuse. Many of us, we only take that one part, that don't refuse. It is exactly like how many people say also, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la taqrabu salah. Allah is speaking to the people of Iman. And he's telling them, don't even go near namaz. Forget performing namaz, don't even go near namaz. So yeah, in the Quran it is said, but they don't tell the people what comes in front. Wantum sukara. When at the beginning, when it was still permissible, when you to drink liquor gradually, and that's a whole discussion on its own. How gradually Allah Ta'ala brought His command. How much He considered us. He didn't just give a command immediately. So anyway, when it was still permissible, when you are drunk, don't make namaz. Because you will say upside down things. Instead of praising Allah, you will say wrong things. What duas you will make, etc. So that part we don't read. We only read the first part. Mm-hmm. Or like one person said that he wasn't making namaz with jamaat, making namaz on his own. Then why are you making? You have to make namaz with jamaat. Perfection of namaz is with jamaat. Without reason, we're not making namaz with jamaat. Namaz is not made, according to hadith showing the severity of it. That it is not acceptable, that namaz. It must be made with jamaat. He says, don't you read in the Quran Sharif? Allah tabaraka ta'ala says that, what is it? Inna salata tanha. That namaz you must read. Now he mixed Arabic and Urdu. Inna salata is Arabic. Tanha, alone. Allah says you must read namaz alone, tanha. That you mustn't read namaz together with jamaat. So he says in the Quran, so this kind of mufassirin abound in these days. People who have taken all the wrong, all the nafsani, the wishes. How we saw the surah, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. The world knows for what it has been revealed. The kuffar know for what. But the bright sparks, what they said, that it is encouraging interfaith, the dialogue. And that you must mix with them and talk with them, etc. Whereas Allah clearly said, you got your way, we got our way. How people are changing the meanings of Quran Sharif and our own people from inside. And how also we are being fooled. For example, it is said, Muhammadur Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءَ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. That the believers, they are hard on the kuffar. And they are very kind and compassionate amongst themselves. So in other words, we all, those people from inside who are destroying Islam totally, but you must stay compassionate with, we are all together. Let them destroy Islam. Don't wait for the outsiders to come and destroy. Don't wait for the Jews and Christians to come destroy Islam. We allow us to destroy Islam. And we must stay all, don't take out any fault in us and say we are all brothers. Rahama ubaidahum. While they are doing all this evil, how can that ever be allowed? How can that ever be any near any common sense? Allah tabaraka ta'ala give us proper understanding. Our deen is most precious. And remember, our deen is for our dunya also. Wallahi, deen has come primarily for dunya. To guide us in dunya. Our dunya will be made if we have a deen in life. Deen will see to our akhirat, our final moments in this dunya. Our qabr, our akhirat, pul sirat. وَإِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. That each one will have to cross pul sirat. 1,500-year journey. No, your Rolls Royce is going to come there, and no, your BMW is going to come there. Your Amal will come. Your Qurbani will come. If you have that, otherwise walking there. And the load of your gunas will be put on your back. Now walk on a bridge that is literally thinner than a hair, sharper than a sword. Can we imagine how we don't think about this? That it's going to happen. I'm going to face it. How am I going to manage? We don't think about it. I'm worried about that person is owing me 20 rand. That person gave me 5 rand less change. That I'm worried and I'm going to make a big fight about it. But about all this here, in the qabr what is going to happen, and everyone's maut is going to come. And we don't know which moment whose maut comes. And maut also comes, for example, our dear friend, Maulana Riaz Hashim of Lodium, at the Darulam, our Haji Sahib told me he passed away. I said, no, his father passed away last night. He said, no, his father passed away last night, and in the morning he passed away. Father and son, just we don't know who. Sister and sister, one sister, somebody tell you that this is, no, not she, that's it. No, both passed away. Maud comes to anyone, anyway, at any time. Let us be ready. and we're going to face it. Nobody can escape mort, and nobody has come back from there. To tell us the story, Allah told us the whole story in the Quran. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told us the true stories of the qabr, but we are not preparing. And if we have problems there, who is going to help? Allah help and guide us, inshallah. Be very careful during this time. Don't let down our guard. Don't lose our iman. See who we are mixing, what we are doing in these times, at all times. May Allah give us tawfiq.